Time to bring in our man Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com. Dash, first and foremost, are you ready for SEC Media Days, the SEC Con, as we like to call it?
Well, I'm getting my armor on and all my other accoutrements I need to battle the forces of downtown Atlanta, and I will be there, I guess. I'll try to get there by noon anyway before all the fun gets started, so yes, I am ready.
And before we dive into all the stuff that's going to happen at SEC Media Days, the breaking news over the weekend for Georgia was that Demetrius Robertson will indeed be coming to the University of Georgia after a long recruiting battle, a little bit of a pit stop in Berkeley, California. He'll be coming to the University of Georgia. And one thing I wanted to ask you about, I guess, is there's a little bit of confusion as to, you know, they're going to request the waiver for him to be able to play next year. One story I read said that they're requesting the waiver because he sat out most of last season, but then other stories have said he's going to request it based on a hardship. So what are you hearing in that regard?
Well, yeah, it's still not 100% clear. I've heard both. I mean, what, he only played, what, two games last year before he got his I guess it was a medical red shirt, whatnot, but you also hear that maybe his mother is ill in Columbus and is going to request a hardship waiver, you know, that way. Don't know yet. I'm sure that's going to probably be question number one to ask of Coach Smart tomorrow, you know, when he meets with the beat writer before taking the big stage at media days. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Of course, the NCAA has made it a lot tougher for guys to transfer and play the next year. So it's got to be a very, very special, you know, situation for kids to be able to do it now. So, and at this point in time, I just can't sit here and say how that's going to turn out.
Is there a timetable on this, or is this something where we'll just have to wait for the NCAA?
We're going to have to wait and see. I mean, Georgia's not going to say anything about the waiver, I'm sure, and the NCAA is not going to say anything about when they're going to decide. It's probably one of those deals where we pop up one morning, some kind of Twitter announcement from somebody, and we'll know then. But there's no timetable that anybody can really kind of speculate on at this point in time.
Obviously, only 7 catches last year for 70 yards and a touchdown. He only played in the 2 games. But his freshman year, 50 catches, 767, and 7 touchdowns. So if, say, he were just a, you know, for a hypothetical, say he were able to get that waiver, I mean, Georgia's adding a guy that's, you know, extremely talented to a receiving core that definitely has some talent, but is going to be looking for who's going to step up and fill that Javon Wims role.
Yeah, imagine a taller version of a Cole Hardman. To me, that's what Demetrius is. He's just an extremely talented kid. I've personally known him, gosh, about 4 years now. He's just a tremendous athlete, and there's no doubt if he does is granted a waiver, you know, for this year, he's going to help that receiving corps, which is already, in my opinion, pretty good right now. It's going to really help it, I think, take the next step forward.
Dash, obviously it'll affect the receiving corps right now, but looking ahead, there's a couple of guys, a couple of 5-stars actually, already committed to play with Georgia. Jaden Hazelwood, Dominic Blaylock. Will this in any way, let's assume that the hardship does, or the waiver does not get in, Demetrius will have to wait till 2019. Yeah. Does that affect recruiting in any way? Of maybe too stacked at the wide receiver position?
Not at all. I mean, remember Terry Godwin's a senior this year too.
Right.
I mean, he'll be gone. So, but no, I mean, most of these top flight kids, I mean, in my experiences, you know, covering them and talking to them, they love competition. And when we hear that with the quarterback, that we heard that from Justin Fields when he came to UGA. And you're going to hear, and you have heard some of the same things from Blaylock and Hazelwood. So no, I don't think any of the presence of Demetrius will affect those guys one iota.
Talk with Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com. All right, SEC Media Days. You mentioned Terry Godwin. He's going to be one of the guys at the event for Georgia. You also have Jonathan Ledbetter and J.R. Reed. You know, were you surprised by any of those, or are those all kind of par for the course guys? I know that some Georgia fans were thinking maybe a Rodrigo Blankenship might be a part of it. One thing that I told a lot of people that a guarantee was that Jake Fromm would not be there, especially after the boat incident, but probably wouldn't have been there anyway.
Hey, no, there's no way Jake Fromm was going to be there. I mean, it's not just a boat accident, but I haven't answered a question about Justin Fields. I mean, that's something I guarantee that Coach Martin wasn't going to put him in a position to do. But no, the 3 guys we're getting are probably the exact 3 guys I would have picked. The only one I may have figured, I thought maybe Lamont Gaggard may have gone. But those 3 guys are, you know, no doubt they're going to get up there. They're going to say the right thing. They'll be very good representatives of UGA. May not be the most exciting as far as the interviews go. just speaking from a strictly sports writer standpoint there. But, you know, they're good representatives of UGA, and I'm sure they'll do a fine job.
Now, having those guys there, I mean, you know, you look at all these type of questions, and it is an event where you get a lot of coach speak. But this year, I think it's going to be a little interesting. You know, Kirby Smart obviously coached Alabama for a long time and got very close to beating him in the national championship last year. And you've got, you know, just from that perspective, maybe this is more of an Alabama question, but from that perspective, you know, it seems like the gap is closing a little bit on teams that can compete with Alabama and the SEC, at least with the one team in Georgia from the East. But you look at that, and then you also look at Alabama's quarterback issues and both players having come out, you know, since the national championship game saying transferring was in their brain. You know, Tua Tagovailoa said that if he hadn't played in the national championship, he would have transferred. And then Jalen Hurts, his dad, kind of coming out saying all this stuff. So it seems like there's at least around that Alabama program, there's a lot of uncertainty and probably a lot of Nick Saban snarls in our future with some of the questions he's going to get asked.
Yeah, maybe. Although I will say this, Coach Saban is usually, you know, at least in the big room with the big crowd, he's usually pretty congenial. He always, it's kind of funny, he always get up there and kind of thank the media for the job they do covering the conference. I guarantee you'll hear the same spiel again. But yeah, I mean, you know, but as far as those two guys, the two quarterbacks, you know, and what happened after the championship game, I think that's just a lot of posturing. I mean, that's just kind of stuff that it kind of goes on from time to time. You've got two kids and know they were fighting for the same position, but you know, George is kind of in that same boat, just a little bit. Not anybody considering transfer, not so whatsoever, but just the competition factor is too another thing those two programs have in common right now.
Dash, what are you expecting the narrative of Georgia to be this week, based on the entire media pool? Is it going to be more of is Georgia here to stay, or is it going to be more of that, like, is Georgia for real, or is it welcome to the scene now that you're here, your expectations are through the roof? What are you expecting the feel of Georgia to be this next week?
Probably a little bit of everything you just mentioned. I mean, there's going to be a lot of questions, I'm sure, you know, looking back at last year's championship game. And then, like you said, too, if Georgia is now, you know, here to stay as far as, you know, competing for league titles, you know, year in and year out. I mean, I'm quite sure the Dogs will be picked, be a pretty resounding pick to win the East whenever the preseason, you know, polls, media predictions are announced on Thursday morning. So, but that's gonna probably be the main thing. Just how have they responded from the championship loss, and can they keep it up? I'm sure that's gonna be a theme you'll hear quite a bit this week.
Now, I know how Media Days works. I've gone to a few myself. I know you've done it for a lot longer than I have. But you probably already have your ballot, if not you're about to, for your picks to win the East and the West.
Yeah,
are you
yeah.
willing to give us your prediction right now on who's going to win the SEC championship game? Or we have to wait and see after you submit your ballot.
Let's wait and see on that, but I will say, this is, of course, this is not going to be a big, huge shock here. I got Alabama to win the West, and I got Georgia to win the East.
Okay.
So we'll have to kind of wait and see on who's going to win it all right now. But, you know, those are the two teams I think you'll see a lot of people go with when this thing is announced on Thursday.
Dash, one thing about Georgia, this isn't really Media Days related, but it was announced over the weekend that Hines Ward's going to headline the UGA Circle of Honor inductees.
Yeah.
And obviously, Hines is very deserving of this. There's no question about it. But the Ring of Honor thing brings up, you know, an interesting discussion every time it comes up. And it revolves around, you know, Herschel Walker not being eligible for the Ring of Honor because he did not, you know, graduate from the university. Do you think that that is something that maybe the Dogs should take, I don't know, a one-time exemption for or something?
There are exceptions to every rule, and Herschel Walker would certainly be an exception as far as being, in my opinion, being included in the Ring of Honor. Kind of same thing as far as maybe having a Herschel Walker statue somewhere around Sanford Stadium, something like that would, I think, be apropos as well. But, you know, you see this kind of thing in different venues, different, Hall of Fames and whatnot. I mean, the media day is going to be the College Hall of Fame. I think Kirk Russell should be in the College Football Hall of Fame, but because he wasn't the head coach for 10 years, he's not eligible. So it's kind of similar to what the Herschel situation as far as the Ring of Honor goes, because he didn't graduate. So, but I think definitely while Herschel Walker, you know, he did for UGA, I think somehow they should find a way to get him on that wall.
And Dash, you know, getting back to Media Days, you know, as you mentioned, College Football Hall of Fame, It is going to be in Atlanta. It's on a. It seems like it's on a much bigger scale this time around than it's been in the past. Do you see this? And I know that you know the schedule in terms of they're not abandoning Hoover or anything, but has the event maybe and will we see this year and in the coming years with it kind of traveling around to some other places as well? Will we see maybe that the event might have outgrown Hoover?
I don't know about outgrown Hoover. I mean, it's going to be back there, next year. And Greg Sankey, the commissioner, has talked about the fact that it could be one thing where it kind of bounces around a little bit from different cities. So I would fully expect that maybe one year to be in Nashville and New Orleans. I'm sure would be a site they consider. They'd probably have it back in Atlanta again. So I think that's the plan right now. It'll be back in Hoover for next season, but I'm not sure we know yet where it's going to be for 2020. It could well be any one of those cities I just mentioned.
You know, one thing that the media does at SEC Media Days is, as we alluded to earlier, picking the order of finish and the SEC champion and the East and West champions and all that stuff. But they also do, various Player of the Year and SEC first teams and all that stuff. I wanted to ask you about the quarterback position. It's interesting because a lot of people look at Jake Fromm, they're like, well, he's one of the more talented quarterbacks in the SEC. But, for example, if you take a look at the Phil Steele, you may see that he doesn't have any of Georgia. He doesn't have Jake Fromm on the first, second, third, or fourth team in the SEC. And when we had him on here, he said it was because of kind of the uncertainty surrounding Justin Fields. So what are your thoughts on that? You think Fromm will get some love on the one of the first or second teams there?
I'll be surprised if he does, be quite honest with you, because there's some other very good quarterbacks. I mean, the kid from Mississippi State, I think, is probably going to be the guy. I think most people are going to vote for to be the first team quarterback, and that second team position is really we have Jake Mike, but I just don't think the overall numbers are going to be there for people to pick him quite that high.
And with Georgia, obviously having a lot to replace on both sides of the ball, but having a lot of talent to do it. How do you see kind of the dogs being represented? On some of the other, teams, who are some of the dogs that have really good chances to get those preseason accolades?
Well, I think on the offensive line, I think Lamont Gaillard, has a great chance to be the first team, offensive, lineman center. I think Terry Godwin has a chance to really have a shot and have a chance to be there. And Isaac Nauta, his name is well known in the sports writing circle and defensively. I mean, J.R. Reed, I think, has a chance to be there. DeAndre Walker may get a few votes. I don't think he'll be a first or second team, but he could sneak in there on the third team. Jonathan Ledbetter, I think, has a great chance to be a first team guy. So Georgia will have some representatives. Not sure it'll be quite as many as last year because there's a lot of youth. I think, especially on the defensive side, that some names got a lot of writers probably aren't familiar with quite yet. But there'll be some names folks can gravitate to.
Dasher, one more question about a guy that's not quite yet a Bulldog, but another commitment over the weekend last night. I might be butchering this name. Is it Zion Logue? Is it Logue? How do you say the last name?
Zion Logue, I believe, is how it's pronounced.
Okay, well, a defensive end from Tennessee, a 3-star commit. What can you tell us about him, and is this any indication that Georgia might get its defensive line recruiting rolling a little bit?
I know he's a guy Georgia loves. I mean, Zion, from what we told him, me talking to our guy Jake and Trent, he really came on in some camps and some workouts for some teams. I mean, he really opened a lot of eyes, and Georgia, made him a priority after what he did here at UGA for the camp here. And I know he's just a 3-star, and I think rivals may have him ranked like 35th, defensive line or something of that nature. I don't have that number right in front of me, but he's obviously somebody Coach Mark likes. If he didn't like him, he wasn't offered. So he's a kid. I know they think they can develop into probably a pretty solid, pretty technique, player. And we'll see what happens with him down the road. But I know just from what I understand, coaches are very excited to have him on board.
Dash, before we let you go here, what is the other than Georgia, going? Who are you most excited to talk to at Media Days? Ed Orgeron's tonight. Is that one of them?
Yeah, I always like to hear what Ed Orgeron has to say. He usually filibusters a lot when he gets up on stage. He doesn't have to spend a lot of time leaving much opportunity for questions. So, I think last year he got up and spoke like – he did like a Tom Crean, got up and spoke like 25, 30 minutes before he opened it up for questions. So, that would be something to kind of watch. I always enjoy it. Again, I like hearing what Coach Saban has to say. Of course, he doesn't go till Wednesday. And, and Will Muschamp, I think, on Thursday would be kind of fun to listen to. But those are probably the main ones right now I'm looking forward to hearing.
Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com. Thanks, Dash.
See you guys.
That was indeed our man, Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com.